This week on RSBNB Update, the fate of the gods is revealed as we plow through our newest quest, Twilight of the Gods. It's a classic quest featuring demons, worldwide adventures, and a puzzle that keeps us guessing. Is this our Twilight? This is RSBNB Update, episode 886, recorded Thursday, June 9th, 2022. Wordle Guardian. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for another episode of RSBNB Update. This week, of course, it's Quest Week again, Tanis. See, it feels like we were just here doing Quest Week, which we were. It's nice having lots of quests this year so far, isn't it?
You know, there's been quite a few. I've definitely done my share of them. And yeah, it's great for the questers out there.
Yeah,
it's more meaty lore, you know, hey.
Yeah, and we got two of them here with us this week. Questcaping, welcome back.
Hello, quest time.
Yeah, quest time indeed. Questcaping is a member of Clan Quest, an avid lore hound, hangs around in all the lore channels on the official Discord and other ones. You've been with us through most of the Elder God War stuff, so thank you for that. And also joining us is Earth, another fixture of RSBNB Update Quest Weeks going way, way back. I figured we needed to have you on this one kind of to close out the chapter, since this was the so-called Zamorak quest, let's just say. We won't be we'll go into exactly how that all shook out, but you made waves earlier this year with Het's Oasis Eye of Het, and we decided that based on the previous quest, let's have you on again, and once again, huge fixture of the podcast, so thank you for being here.
Of course.
If you guys want to follow along, we do have full show notes available at our new quick and easy. We have a new quick and easy web address where you can find everything podcast related. Update.show. Nice, simple one word URL. Update.show. Full show notes can be found.
That's fancy.
There. I know. I'm glad we were able to pick that up and that it's just one of those words, one big powerful word, and then you go there, and then away you go to the actual website. So, yes, Earth.
Well, I'm just double checking something, but
okay.
The other hand URL.
Remember that you can also go to update.shanesucks.org and find the show.
Everybody, of course, remembers when you were on when you unveiled that as a surprise, and I honestly don't remember who else was on that episode, but it was a huge reveal because you even snuck that one past me.
Mm-hmm.
But in any case, of course, we're going to be embarking on a journey that wraps up this part of the RuneScape storyline. So I'll just say going forward with this, you can expect spoilers throughout this entire episode here of RSBNB Update, because we're going to be discussing everything that happened in Twilight of the Gods and some things going forward that we expect to happen as we head into the start of July with that. So let's start with you, Tanis. Any initial opening thoughts here before we get too far into the weeds with this?
No, I'm looking forward to seeing what the real quest experts have to say about it. We were joking around in pre-show about Zaliska getting around. I found that pretty interesting.
They had to address that because that has been point number one amongst the player base, including some people here.
Yeah, so I mean, it has a lot of the things that I actually like about a quest.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll talk about the rewards.
We'll get there.
We'll get there. So,
yeah,
I think we just dive in the weeds.
Yeah, and you know what the interesting part is just a bit of a behind the scenes thing to say what was going on here with this. Before we started the show, I said something doesn't feel right, and I figured out what wasn't right, you guys.
You didn't hit record.
No, I did hit record for the B-roll footage for this episode. I loaded up the Extinction playthrough instead of the Twilight of the Gods playthrough. Yeah.
Well,
Extinction 2, let's go.
It is a requirement.
It is a requirement. It is a requirement to do this quest, along with Broken Home, the archaeology Eyes in Their Stars mystery. Need to also have met Nerissa and Sentistan, have 80 divination and 60 thieving. Tanis, you've done Broken Home, I assume.
Oh, yeah. Okay, did I do it fast? No. Did I get the ring, the good one? No. Oh. Did I make it through? Yes.
Okay. Hey. All right. Any opening thoughts from Questscaping Earth before we dive in? I know I got Tanis's.
This quest sure did a whole lot.
Okay.
I do just want to emphasize that this has me acknowledging the existence of Broken Home in a positive manner, because for years Shane has mentioned Broken Home to me, and you know, it's just there's a blank spot in my mind. I have no idea what that is.
Story about me and Broken Home. Got back into RuneScape, did Missing Presumed Death, thought, wow, I love this. Is there any other cool stuff in the area I can do? Wandered into Broken Home. Went off the game for 3 years straight.
Yeah.
I can see.
I actually redid it for that good ring recently.
Yeah.
So, as best quest video guide I've ever seen. I think everyone here knows the one.
Yeah, the 37-minute audio walkthrough one.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was actually fresh in my mind instead of pretending it hasn't existed for years, so.
Yeah.
But that is all. Okay. We can proceed now.
Yeah, and the general sense that you're going to be feeling through this as we go forward, and of course, second spoiler reminder if you guys missed the first one, is that this quest wraps things up in such a way that you would expect a TV show to wrap things up. That's the way I'm going to put this, is that this feels very much like the last, you know, 40 odd minutes of a season of 24 or something like that. Wonderful show, by the way, if anybody's ever
finale of 24?
Yeah, it's the series finale of season 20 of 24, but the seasons themselves were wonderful.
See, because I thought this might be more like Game of Thrones season 8 finale.
I've never watched Game of Thrones, so I don't know.
Just there seemed to be a lot of ends that were
and they got tied up really quickly. Starting in Sentistan, because one of the requirements, of course, is having that you had to have met Nerissa in the city, and following that, you head into the city, you find that there's white knights that are cleaning up. There's also a good amount of blood being strewn about from the demons that are attacking Sentistan. And if you follow that blood trail, you'll be taken to Nerissa's house, where you find her talking with Grigorovic, of all things. Believe it or not.
Yeah, that was a little bizarre.
Mm-hmm. Just the fight or flight response kicks in.
Yeah.
Get away from him!
Yeah.
But you...
Go ahead.
Skipped over a bit there, didn't you?
No, feel free to fill in. I'm just going based off what I had on my notes. What part do you want to mention?
Well, the starting part.
Oh, okay. Starting outside the...
Yeah.
Outside. What do you want to pull from that?
I mean... The night outside, and there was a fight, right?
Yeah. And you know, with that, you kind of wonder, what kind of path are we going on with this? If this white knight is being attacked by something that he effectively says is a demon, right?
Yeah, and he said he, like, dances and all of that, and I was like, okay, it's Grigorovic.
Oh, so you had kind of had that idea before going in then?
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's pretty obvious. Taller than a human, but like dances.
Quest caping. Did you guys pick up on that?
I remember I had a different idea, but I can't remember what it was.
Okay.
I did not. No, I had no idea.
All right, fair enough. In your conversations with Narissa and Grigorovic, you start to learn something really interesting, that who we have been calling Grigorovic is actually, and I'm going to butcher this name, Erasinus Gaius Saturnius. How's that?
Sounds about right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You did really well, actually. Well done.
Congratulations.
That's unlike you.
Wonderful, wonderful. Who is a demon that lived in Sintistan since the Second Age. And when we start talking to him, who is the first character that joins the quest? It's the Light and Shadow Voices.
Your buddies.
Yeah, but the point here is Grigorovic is standing there, but what's the person's name?
Narissa. Yeah.
Is calling him this other name.
Yep.
And then you call him Grigorovic, and she's like, who?
Yeah.
Don't know who that is.
And it's like we have this complete different identity of who we're talking to, in that we know this person, this Grigorovic thing, to be very dangerous as Sliske's general in God Wars Dungeon 2. But in reality,
these two are besties.
Yeah, these two are just sitting here like nothing's going wrong. So
literally, like, there's not a trail of blood leading up to them.
Don't you have a murder clown in your life?
I have several clowns, but...
True. You don't know, they could do murders. Side gig.
Couple of them.
Yeah. And the Light and Shadow Voices are interesting with this one, because they first pick up on who you're talking to, and following the introduction of the Light and Shadow Voices, Greg identifies us as Master. Obviously seeing the shadow.
Again, the voices don't pick up on you talking to him. You're getting ahead. This is Grigorovic in his clown form. Like,
yes.
It is him. It's not a demon who says he's him or you get a sense. It's him.
Yeah.
To be very clear.
What did you guys think of how they did that?
Like, it's a very weird and disorientating reveal, isn't it? And also, like, it's also not the only weird and disorientating reveal in the quest. I'll get up to that later, but doing this live on the stream with Clan Quest as we do, we sort of started having to slow down around this point to go, wait, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was odd, but, you know, I just went with it.
Then we kind of got the explanation of what happened with that. In that, There was probably some sort of white action going on where the demon ate something that made itself think that it was Grigorovic with this.
Versus being a white.
Yeah.
Well, we can get to that
when we get into the asylum.
It's confusing now.
Yeah, I don't have anything else to say about this part up top here. Do you guys?
I think we need to get through the asylum part before we can really get into this fully.
Yeah, so following from this, the idea behind this is to see if we can find the cure. And Grigorovic talks about the asylum in the northeast from where you're at. And to get into the asylum, it typically, if you're just going down there to do Slayer, you just walk in, right? But with this one, there was a little bit of I don't know if we should call it a puzzle here at the start of it. We can call it a bit of a logic puzzle, I guess, to open the door. Mm. Did anybody take a good while to find the lever that was hiding under the table?
Oh, God, yeah, the stream just stalled for 20 minutes. I had no trouble because I found the lever by accident and just pulled it anyway.
Right.
But there were two separate people on the Clan Quest stream who took a good 20 minutes to find it, and we had to explain, like, trying to figure out how the hell we did it in the first place. It was a bit messy.
Yeah. And, you know,
it's tricky.
You search everything else in the room, and then I think I only found it by accident as well, because I hovered my mouse over it and I saw the mouse cursor change to it.
It's funny how I figured it out.
So you just you just figured it out there that there was a lever under the table upstairs.
One of my friends loves escape rooms. And okay. one time she found a switch, like, at the very bottom, like under something. And every time she'll get on the floor and like start looking around for a switch right at the beginning.
Oh,
so
so your character
thought,
did that, is what you're saying.
It's probably under something, isn't it?
Okay.
And then it was right there.
All right. And then you're given...
It taught well.
And then after that, you're given a bit of a logic puzzle that explains what key to use. The sense that I got from this and the sense I got from talking people like Sirion is that if you wanted to, you could essentially just brute force this and pick and choose which
key. Yeah. I puzzled it out, but it is perfectly possible.
I did too, because I'm a rule follower, but...
I like logic puzzles.
Same.
I also want to take this time and note all the different things that you find in the room, including books called Everything You Need to Know About Exorcisms, a painting of Zaros. I was half wondering if we were going to find a painting of other Majorat
here. Wasn't the painting like specifically Zaros with a heart around it?
Yeah, Zaros with a heart around it. I'm talking about Maud Blackwitch's pin-up art paintings.
I've heard whisperings that they might have snuck in the Zamorak one somewhere soon.
Okay, we'll have to keep an eye out for that. But I was half expecting to find something like that in this room here. So.
Well, you can only hope, bud.
Did you see these paintings, by the way?
Oh, they're
the
exquisite.
Degenerate ones?
The degenerate ones.
Yeah?
Okay.
They're gorgeous.
They're exquisite.
Jagex should sell prints of them, right?
Sounds like the plan
onlygods.com.
is a pinup calendar.
Onlygods.com.
Like, enough for a pinup calendar. So we're on this train and it is not stopping anytime soon.
My God.
And then the last one could be a world guardian that everybody votes in at the end. anyways, once you pull the lever under the table,
lady.
do the logic puzzle to open the gate, and then you head down into the asylum, which was a shorter adventure than I thought it was going to be, because as soon as you get down there, you're effectively captured once you start talking to the first abyssal beast.
Was it
talking to? Did you just run out there?
Yeah, I did. I talked to Narissa and Greg.
And the part where they said, "All right, let's sneak past them," eluded you?
No, I just ran out there.
Dumbass.
You're good at stealth puzzles.
So wait, you're saying you could sneak past and get down to the
very...
Okay.
No,
definitely not. That is specifically a thing you can't do, but you can try, and I tried, but it's not possible.
Okay. All right.
I gave it a college try. I didn't just keyed out there.
I just ran straight out there.
Leroy!
Dumbass.
I mean, I was feeling powerful at the time. I might have come.
Oh my God.
You just did an entire logic puzzle.
Like, I ran down there and I talked to it and I figured, yeah, it'll be okay. I'm equipped with, you know, like a Saren God bow and such. It'll be fine.
Okay, I'm equipped with a Saren God bow.
Good job, Shane. Good job.
Anyways, once you're captured, you're taken down to the lords, and there, in particular, you find Cerulius, Yclegor, the Thunderous, and Dahaka.
You nailed those pronunciations.
Shane, what is up with you today?
Who are you?
I don't know. We're having a good day on this so far.
Apparently.
So at this point in the quest, this is where things, I think, start to get interesting, and we kind of go back onto the conversation that was had topside with Nerissa and Greg throughout this entire thing. You guys have any immediate thoughts right now?
Not yet.
Okay.
I mean, at the point of getting to these three NPCs, I did recognize one of them in particular, Dahaka, as being an established character from somewhere very, very different. But we're about to get onto that, aren't we?
Yeah. In particular, and this is the point you wanted to bring up, was the Dragonkin Agra body hopping at this point. A bunch of demons suffering from SIPD, as it was called, superimposed personality disorder. And they're looking for a cure throughout this entire process.
So the moral of the story of this quest at this point is anyone could be a demon except these demons, which are secretly Dragonkin.
Yay.
Mm. It kind of makes you think, doesn't it?
Who else is going to
be? And your character outright asks it. No, that's pretty rare. I think you're good.
And this is something we're going to see throughout the entire rest of the quest, is that everybody with this is being very upfront about everything that is being talked about, in that there's no real beating around the bush behind the story. Everything is very definitive in what is said.
Mm-hmm. It's genuinely one of the aims behind this quest, from what I've seen from the Jagex chatter, is that, okay, this is the last opportunity for a while that we may have to do certain things. Let's dump it all.
And this contributes to something that I'm going to be touching on in let's just say the last third of the quest or so. I thought we were going in a completely different direction with this quest than what wound up happening at this point. And that's why I want to ask at this point, where do you guys think we were going to wind up once you started talking to these demons?
I wasn't really sure.
Yeah.
I was just along for the ride.
Okay.
I figured it would probably continue to be more Asylum and Centistony.
Yeah.
These two as consistent quest companions, but...
I agree. Tanis, anything interesting in your mind at this point?
No, I mean, I thought... I found the whole, like, superimposed personality thing was a little confusing. But it was more confusing at first, you know, before the Asylum.
Yeah. And then this kind of explains it all out there, in that they're looking for a cure. And to find the cure, you start wandering around the Asylum. And when you start wandering outwards again, you find Rowena.
The little girl from Broken Home.
The little ghost child from Broken Home, exactly.
Boopy.
Yeah, interesting how she just appears. And I think she's appeared at other points in Centistan too, hasn't she?
Mm-hmm. It's an achievement.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, you and I did that one when we were admiring Zuck.
It was much easier when it was just played on front.
Yeah, we did, I think. So
I didn't.
Oh, okay. Maybe that.
I would have yelled at you.
Oh. All right, fair. And for me, it was at this point that the quest got really traditional, because you're looking for the cure in the Asylum, of course. But what you don't know is that the entire Asylum is an open questing area. The quest area here is not in, since you can see other players.
That was jarring to me.
Okay. I thought it was a nice callback.
For what it's worth, technically it was instanced. Like, this is something I found out directly from Mojack while streaming it, is that it is a group instance. And fortunately, everyone I was questing with got dropped in the same
one. So it's the same tech they used when these critters came out then to limit the amount of people who were cramping them.
Exactly. So you
I wonder if it's left over.
It was deliberate, apparently.
Interesting. I wonder why.
I don't know.
Because I found it very jarring to really? Have other people there. Yeah.
Okay. I really miss that from the olden days. So
same.
I was happy to see it.
I really enjoy the social side of RuneScape in general. And yeah, I enjoy the social side of questing. I have literally got people back into the game via questing with them. And that gets really hard when it gets instanced. So being able to share it with some people, hell yeah.
I mean, I don't disagree. It's been so long. I found it very jarring.
Yeah, and that's how I first got into questing as well, way back when as well. So, I want to see more like this in the future. That's the side I fall on. Another thing I want to see more of that was done in this quest in the future is using sparkles as an interaction cue. I think that's a huge win. Tanis, did you see those? Was that visible to you enough?
I didn't see it real well.
Okay. So maybe they could tone it up a little bit. It kind of looks like the... it's hard to describe.
Sparkles is pretty good.
Yeah, but I've seen it elsewhere in game used. I think it's kind of how the mining rocks sparkle when they're not rockatunity.
Yeah.
Rockatunity. Mm-hmm. Rocket.
Rockatunity.
When they're not undergoing a rockatunity. Yeah.
You were nailing pronunciation.
Well, just leave it until, you know, it's a Jagex made-up word, and then we're fine, right? But...
Your Kligor is certainly not Jagex made.
Did you guys feel that the asylum here was too big for this puzzle that we're on to try and find the cure? Could it have been a bit smaller? Was it the right size?
Maybe like 10% too big.
Okay.
Honestly, yeah, I'm with that. Like, it was getting to a point where I was a bit overly stretched, but also I genuinely loved big area to quest in and explore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and this was another traditional element of it as well. There's tons of things you can search for, but they're not all going to be useful. You know, you're going to find things like a syringe, a vodka bottle, worms, red spider eggs, bones, infernal ashes, so on and so forth.
Am I the only dumbass who scattered the ashes and had to go get more?
No. You are not the only dumbass.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's what the cure is. It's to make the cure. It's a vial of vile water combined with the infernal ashes and use the syringe on the girl at the far end of it, and then you combine all those, and you got your SIPD cure. And
I mean, minor thing, I might have made all of the ingredients you find, like quest items.
Oh, okay, fair. Yeah, because the Eye of Newt and the spider egg and bones and whatnot are just your traditional bone items. So,
but you know, that's just to protect against dumbasses like me who scattered the ashes, had to teleport out and get more and come back.
You could just search the box again.
No, you couldn't.
Really?
No, you couldn't.
Oh.
It's one and only.
Oh, okay.
Because otherwise, there would be an infinitely spawning source of infernal ashes in the game.
Right, but only if you're doing the quest, I imagine. Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
And if you're wondering how we got to the fact that it was infernal ashes plus the vile water, I made one potion, tried that, and then I saw that there was a second medication testing document that slightly changed from that, and then I think at that point it was just down to four or five, and then I just picked one, and it was the infernal ashes that was the winner.
There was only one choice, though.
Yeah, there's only one choice.
Did you find both documents?
I did.
It was the one that was that worked in both.
It was the one.
It was the only one that worked in
was
both.
Was the one that worked.
Okay, but as it was in that document, there were some that changed between that worked and
working
didn't work.
And not working, yeah. And there was a single one that worked in document one and document two.
Yeah, and then that's how you get the Infernal Ashes one.
But it was the only one.
Yeah, that's what we said.
Why did you try others?
Because I was just mixing first before I found the second document. Then when I ran back to the room the second time, I found the second document.
It was a bit unintuitive with that second document, like having to search the same place twice when literally everyone else is.
Yeah.
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 I had no trouble finding
it. I just chose one right off the bat for the first one, and then after I found the second document.
So this could have also been brute forced.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it could have. But at the same time, you know, we're not talking Elemental Workshop level of puzzles here that they were trying to pull off.
I mean, sure, but I think that...
I mean, it...
I get it.
It's a good thing to do for a quest.
Yeah.
So, there's that. And then, with this, you have your cure, and...
No, not quite.
Okay.
There's more.
Go ahead.
Well, it's not the cure yet, it's the prototype.
Right.
But in the notes, it said that, to make it more powerful, you needed the blood of one of the demons.
Okay. And then, with that, then we have the cure?
Yes.
Okay. And this is where
How did y'all get the blood?
Stabbed Rowena?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Both of you stabbed a child?
Yeah.
Yes.
Over Grigorovic?
Yeah.
She was there.
Assholes?
She was only a fake child anyway. Stabbed a fake child. A friend of mine went through...
murderer.
It's a little prick. It's fine.
Oh, God,
you're a little prick.
A little prick into the syringe, we'll say.
Okay, a friend of mine went through this bit and just decided to syringe everyone just to see how it went, and they do have dialogue for it.
Yeah.
The demons essentially say, if I recall correctly, something like, that might be the last time you ever do that.
I mean, that's what I did, because they're the most obvious demons, right? I wasn't sure if the others would count.
Has anyone, with this, is that, I wonder if anyone, and there's no way you can syringe yourself then, is there?
Nope.
I saw from your screenshot that you did try and syringe the vodka bottle.
Yep.
Just slurp up a bit of vodka. This could be demon blood.
And that
but
didn't
when
work?
When you stab Grigorovic, he says tingly.
Oh, God. Of course he does.
What is that? I need some blood. I love blood. Me too. Can I have some? Of course, master. You pierce Grigorovic's bony arm with the syringe. Tingly.
I bet somebody was secretly smiling about that. Because that just seems like a weird bit of dialogue to write.
Oh, dear.
Mm-hmm. Little on.
Some absolute lunatic at Jagex.
Ay, ay, ay. All right, then you have your cure.
Yep.
So, with this, this is where we get more information on the Chthonian demons. Is how am I doing on that pronunciation? Chthonian?
I think technically it's Chthonian.
Okay.
But I always just say Chthonian.
Really?
Yeah, it's words are weird. There's too many consonants in a row.
Yeah. Anyway, those type of demons.
Yeah. So with that, this is where we get more information on what happened topside. It's revealed that the specific demon in question ate a person, and now the demon Grigorovic thinks he is that person. And this is an exact same callback to what we saw in Broken Home with Senna. I can't pronounce that name.
Senecianus.
Senecianus suffering from the same affliction, wondering, of course, we put in a temporary cure in that case, but it wore off over time, and that's how we wind up where we're at here. And presumably the cure we have is going to be permanent.
Yeah, so it's this potion and then the break curse thing that you did.
Yeah, the break curse spell.
I did love, this is just a minor Easter egg, but there's a Diagnostic Sanitarium Manual, 5th edition, you can find in there. So the DSM-5.
What's that in reference to?
It's an actual
psychologist.
Yeah, oh, okay,
manual,
interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Has stuff like autism, bipolar disorder.
Yeah, I think it's like exactly formatted like one of those entries as well, like outlining SIPD as if it's a real condition.
It is.
And I know in your notes, Questcaping, you said this was a callback after we just finished Mental Health Awareness Month. I think that's a nice touch that they're covering all this and it's in a quest, and it's in some ways being used as a lore point for good, I feel, at this point. So
I thought about that.
Yeah, interesting, isn't it? It's at this point we administer the cure and realize that everybody down there, of course, is not who they say they are, and they all revert back to their original formats. We get one of the blobby ones like that we saw at the end of Azanadra's quest.
Or the thing that chased you in Broken Home.
Or the thing that chased
exact
you
thing.
The exact one.
Yeah.
That was him.
The big boy.
Also known for blobbing.
And then there's just an abyssal demon.
Greg looks pretty in pink.
Yeah, that's what Grigorovic reverts back to. Do you guys get and it was at this point I got the feeling that we're high pace wrapping up some demon lore here.
Mm-hmm. I want to
really wrap anything up there, though?
I do want to ask, for the first thing, I don't really feel like it was much of a wrap-up, like, just this is a plot point we want on the table rather than specifically an ending. And also, I want to ask you guys, why you think they did what they did with Greg specifically.
I did find that odd.
It was weird, wasn't it?
I didn't really see the... Because he's gone as a character now.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
To be clear, he no longer exists.
And they had an explanation for why Greg was the way he was before. Just murder white, eating people to sustain powers. But now he's a Thonian demon instead.
And Rowena, or Senecianus?
Yeah.
That's the one.
Is that a... Damn. What a name. That was resolved. Everyone was happy with that. Well, happy, but, you know.
Relatively.
That was done, but they reopened that plot point to bring them back.
And the question, I guess, is why, right? Because it's not like they had a major influence in the Elder God Wars stuff.
Well, didn't Samurak kick the demons out, or one type of demon out of I'm blanking.
Infernus? Specifically the Blobby Boy type, yes.
Yeah. So they brought that back, and then they mentioned that they went to go see Valinius, Surveillance.
Wonderful.
Here in a minute when we go to Falador, because Blob and Abyssal Demon can't go to Falador.
Right.
They go to meet with that guy, who's another blob.
And
so,
then
you... nothing happened from that, right?
Nope, nothing did happen.
Okay.
Hey, future characters for the next storyline.
Hey,
potentially.
Probably a while from now at this point.
Something that did happen. You ask Arasinus if he remembers being Grigorovic. And basically you ask, like, he could hear these voices in my head. What was that? And they said it was like a... Sliske had transferred some of his essence into us.
Yep.
Like a magical resonance.
They said, you didn't devour Sliske's soul, did you?
Yeah. Well, kind of, is the answer. And that comes up again later.
Yeah, and I think we can address that later, unless there's anything specifically you want to push on with that right now.
Because, we can address that more at the end.
Yeah, because
everything's out there.
They very clearly say the voices sound like Sliske, but the goddess Saren told me they were not.
Again, we should touch on that at the end.
Yeah,
once everything's out.
Once everything is all out and clear. But one final thing on that, you ask if you can have that same disorder, and they say that no, I don't think so.
Yeah.
So your player even questions if they're a demon.
I mean, I think they definitely introduced this thing, and they wanted to make sure that
there's
it was
like,
very clear.
There's like,
we don't have this.
Three possible things at once in this section of the quest that can make someone be someone else.
Yeah.
And that's slightly confusing when you think about it. And are you guys ready to move to Falador at this point? Since we want to talk.
Quite.
Okay.
Couple of things more. One is just sort of a, in retrospect, oh my god moment. So, you know the Vault of Varanus going back to 2020, right?
Yeah.
So there's these purple letters in the walls in the Dragonkin script, and one of them all this time has said Kalgar, as in Kalgarian demon.
Yeah.
All this time.
We were trying to figure that out when that dig site dropped.
The problem being that, like, Dragonkin letters can mean, like, three different things at once.
Yeah.
But yes, all this time, the fact that the Kalgarian demons were secretly Dragonkin in disguise was in-game, just there. Surprise, surprise.
Wait, I thought it was a different kind. Oh, no, never mind. It was a different kind of Dragonkin I was thinking of. Ignore me.
All right.
All good. The other thing is something Dahakan mentions about the Elder Gates, which is dropped very briefly into dialogue about how the Elder Gates no longer functioned. Presumably this is something in the Abyss, and from the sound of it, something that can help them move place to place. But...
That's where some of them hit out in the last revision, or when the last revision was happening, right? In the Abyss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I do remember there being some word of actually a trademark registration Elder Gate.
Really?
Done by Jagex. Yes.
Interesting. Interesting. Interesting.
So yeah, it makes me wonder if, maybe they have greater plans for the lore here.
Maybe. But I feel like we're kind of moving beyond that.
Is the Elder Gate like the World Gate? But...
are we thinking Elder Gate or Watergate?
Oh my god.
Like the World Gate?
I don't know. But before we move on to Falador... I want to thank some Patreon supporters this week. We heard some rumblings this week, Tanis, that some of the first batches of mailouts have arrived to their destination. So Patreon supporters, you guys should be hearing and seeing something very soon on that. But in particular, this week, I'd like to thank Andrew C., Arounds, Arvid L., Big Huge Rat, Bryflex, Christian S., Chunk the Monk, Diana, Dominic F., Drama Free, Duramax, Elo Matey, Flossaman, Free Milk, Jade Gizmo, Jason S., Jeebus, Jesse W., Ling01, Lucky Ducky, Mohan V., Nate the Great, Nick G., OTR Gamer, Patty the Architect, Pernasius, Renhawk, Ricky A., Samuel FL, Skiotan, Scott DS, Seth W., Stub Eve, Tabby, the Naked Captain, Tom V, and Zant. Thank you, everybody, for your support. It truly means the world to us. And we hope you are enjoying the podcast. We hope you're enjoying the monthly bit we put out last week on RNG, a look at how RNG works in general from the math perspective and how it works in RuneScape. Of course, there's all other kinds of monthly bits that we have. We have the Legacy Combat monthly bit. We have the DailyScape monthly bit that talks about some of the dailies you might want to be doing in 2022, amongst other things. And you can gain access to that and the entire back catalog at patreon.com/rsbnb, starting as little as a dollar a month. And with that, you get access to that entire back catalog of monthly bits, and you help fund the cost for hosting and production of RSBNB Update. For a little bit more, for $3 a month, you'll get a special VIP rank on Discord, including a special chat channel mentioned on the podcast at the start of the month, and access to high-quality stereo versions of the show in addition to everything else. And if you want to give the ultimate gift, for $5 a month, you'll receive a shout-out on the podcast each and every week and gain exclusive access to the outtakes that we use to make the clip show at the end of the year. And if any of this sounds interesting to you, check us out at patreon.com/RSBNB. We're a little bit off halfway to the Hot Ones challenge. We might look at adding something, another milestone in there, but we'll just have to wait and see on that. But I have heard reports that the mail out that we sent has started arriving. So if you got that, enjoy. But of course, we wouldn't be able to do this without all you guys. So thank you so much to all our Patreon supporters. It means the world to us.
And I would like to add, the Hot Ones will be hosted by me. So get there.
Yeah, and that's
I'm
just
looking forward to
and
it.
And that's just a very convenient way to make sure that you don't need to eat any of it. But Tanis has found a way around that, haven't you?
Did I?
Yeah, you said the host always has to dip in too, right?
Oh, you have to do the last dab. Yeah, the host does the last
dab.
So yeah. We found a way. But patreon.com/RSBNB. Thanks so much, everyone. So with that, back to Twilight of the Gods. Following up our discussions in the asylum, you learn that there are demons arriving from Infernus. Zamorak is aiding their arrival. It's said that they're attacking cities. That will be reflected in the game in the near future, apparently. So we'll just put that off to the shelf in the meantime, and that there's supposedly demon attacks happening, but we can't see it yet in game because of how it was set up. That was something that was addressed on live stream, which I think is fine, right?
Yeah, I mean, technical limitations.
Yeah. But you find Saradomin and Adrastea back in Falador talking and visiting. Well, maybe not visiting. Maybe visiting is too kind of a word. Having a discussion with Duke Horatio, where the Duke is wanting help related to the damages caused by the Battle of Lumbridge, of all things.
Because a little background.
Because Saradomin, of course, was heavily involved in that.
Mm-hmm. Little background on this is that Mod Jack was genuinely considering, like, he had pitched a court case, Saradomin versus the people, where Duke Horatio is suing Saradomin for the cost of damages to Lumbridge, and slipped it in here instead.
Yeah, I think this is probably a better way to go about it. Just kind of.
Oh no, I thought that. I think that'd be hilarious.
But it would be a big departure for the quest. I think. I think this just makes the quest flow a lot better. So.
I think when court cases were coming out, they definitely could have done it.
I think
like
court cases
had him tried in absentia or something.
Yeah, sure. That would have been hilarious. Did anybody else detect the huge tone shift here in the quest? It felt, and this is nothing
like
against the quest itself.
Quests?
It felt like two different quests.
Yeah, this is definitely the other part of the quest. We've completely shifted settings and characters and scenarios. It's interesting. I wouldn't say it's necessarily bad, but nothing we have dealt with in the first half of the quest or the first part is going to be dealt with again.
It's showing how Ceridoan wants to make amends, mm-hmm. which is what was alluded to in Extinction at the end of that there. And Adrastea actually helps him out.
Helps him out?
Yeah. Questcaping,
a little of a word.
Well, Questcaping called Adrastea the Anger Management Counselor.
Yeah, I think berating is a good word.
Who would have ever thought that this is what the discussion with Ceridoan would have looked like once this whole thing started with Battle of Umbridge back in 2013?
Oof. Saradomen's perception by the player base has just been an absolute roller coaster.
Mm-hmm. We've
gone from generic good god to absolutely demonized by the player base because he did some questionable things in Death of Chivalry to this sort of tentative acceptance, like you're on thin ice, buddy, but we're cool with you.
It's like he's been kind of trying to, at the tail end of this,
make amends,
set himself up to be once again the ruler of the human kingdoms, so to speak, which is what he wanted, rehabilitated
Saradomen.
And we'll get to what ultimately results in that after in the biggest ask from the quest, but he actually admits to helping and will help Duke Horatio and Lumbridge.
I do think one minor issue I had, I don't think they should have put a gold amount on it.
That's funny.
Because I'm standing there. I saw several memes about this too, so this is not original content. But I'm standing there, the ring on my finger is worth 82 times. Like, the entire budget of Lumbridge for food.
I will be your sugar daddy.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Looking at the price of, like, beef, it's 30 coins. So, you know.
That's a lot of food. That's a lot of food when you look that through and whatnot.
That's enough for 33,000 steaks.
Yeah, and I don't think there's that many people in Lumbridge, so.
Well, there's the whole scale theory thing.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But I don't really think that's within the scope of the show.
We talked about that in Extinction, didn't we?
Did we?
I don't remember that.
I'm drawing a blank here.
Oh, no, maybe that was the Jack and Shrike episode, Dennis.
Probably.
I don't remember.
It was somewhere we talked about it. I talked about it with someone. Somebody on this show did. No. It wasn't. It was definitely on the show. I think it was a Thaxi episode. But in any case, following from this, we have to infiltrate the source. Talk to White Knights at the Jolly Boar Inn. There's four of them. What were you guys' cultist names?
Hazel.
Oh, okay.
Liar, L-Y-R-E.
Tadis?
I don't even remember.
Mine was north.
Mine might have been north.
North?
Yep.
Like Kanye West child?
Yep, that's what I thought.
Didn't know you liked Yeezy, Shane. Doesn't really seem like something you'd listen to.
I think he's a very smart business person.
Okay. Hot takes with Shane.
No, I mean, you gotta be that successful, right?
Hot no. takes with Shane.
Okay. So, to infiltrate the cult, you're presented with a little quiz. You gotta answer three questions right. In particular, who was the founder of the cult? Who did the cult offer sacrifices to? And then I'm blanking on what the third question was on that, but
there was Lady Philippa Wharton
and what was the prime belief?
Oh, right. Prime belief.
I can't believe they phrased it as growth through chaos, not the strength through chaos. That's the thing.
Well, that's the word. Code of the Sith, though. Isn't it?
Beats me.
I mean, I guess they're kind of the same thing, but, you know, peace is a lie, there's only passion.
Yeah.
That. That's Star Wars.
I know, I know, that's why I'm trying to move us along here. after talking to the cultists and gathering information there, you talk to a number of the people down below, and of course, that's why you need the archaeology mystery done. You also need to pickpocket a key to unlock another disguise for Tyne, who's in jail. You take part in the ritual, gather five pieces of information there. And with this, you learn that Zamorak has taken back control of the source and is using that, combined with the power of the Eye of Het,
Great Skull,
to be summoning the demons from Infernus. How do you think the Zamorakians felt during this, the Zamorakian players? Because it's very clear at this point that you're not going to be able to side with them, and you're kind of going against the grain in a very hard way with that.
I mean, I don't like it, but I get it. It's kind of like betrayal at the end of Extinction. It's like, all right, understandable, have a nice day. I mean, I wish it didn't have to be this way. But Jack, it do.
Jack kind of went through the quest, like literally looking for instances of the word, well, instances where you can say Zamorak is bad as the player, and just gave you a choice. I think it was Jack and Luma who made this, but yeah, just give you the choice to say Zamorak must be stopped, or Zamorak's fine, but we kind of got to stop this whole demon thing.
Yeah, I did really appreciate how there was an option for we have to stop him, and it's like, I have no quarrel with Zamorak, but demons killing civilians is not okay.
Yeah, and it puts your character in a way that's always going to be represented as good.
It gives you agency.
And it still lets you make that choice, even though if we all wind up at the same place at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And generally, most people playing as their RuneScape character are probably not going to fall under. Actually, demons killing people en masse is fine. So
yeah.
It covers 99% of RuneScape players.
You know, Shadow of the Storm, where we banished a demon. Demon Slayer, eh.
Yeah. All right.
Delrith threatening, it's fine.
Yeah. So with that, we head back to Falador. Unless there's anything else you guys want to talk about from our visit to the source.
Nope.
This felt like just a little bit of information gathering, and you could have probably just done one of the visual cutscenes at this point, I think.
Disagree.
Okay. That's really weird, because I felt like this part of the quest wasn't, if you were to say you got to cut something from the quest, that's what I would cut.
Same here, honestly.
All right. Well, yeah.
Well, I strongly disagree, but all right.
Yeah. We go back to Falador, and we find talking back up in the castle is that there's another person trying to barter, negotiate with Sarah Doman, and this time it's Garlandia.
Hoo-hoo!
Who is, of course, a representative of the Godless faction, who we haven't heard from in a long, long time. Because
technically, this is Godless content.
It seemed like they were going to do something with that once when the sixth stage started, but they never really picked up on it. So, this is your Godless content in this quest. Very good way of putting that.
She in Desperate Times and Desperate Measures?
Nope.
Pretty sure she was.
Not sure what you're thinking about now, but... Oh, hang on. Hang on. I'm forgetting about the council, but everyone's on the council.
It kinda counts.
I guess.
The gnomes were there, too. It doesn't count.
Yeah, and we all know.
Gnome quest, yeah!
And we all know we want that. But she has a really big ask of Sarah Doman, and this is Sarah Doman's true test to see if he truly has changed.
Hoo-hoo.
She's asking for the edicts to be reestablished.
Getting spicy.
And then... go ahead.
Yeah, so... Hi, I have nothing to ask of you but to get the hell out of here. That's what I want. What you gonna do about it, blue boy?
Yeah. Surprisingly, Sarah Doman agreed. And it was he agreed in a way because he thought what was happening. And what was gonna happen was that we could try and do it, but settle on a version that wouldn't outright banish the gods, but would only let them not come back if they leave.
I don't think that's what he was angling for, but...
Okay, that's what I got out of it.
You're too trusting.
But I will say, it's at this point I knew precisely how this quest was going to end.
Fair enough.
As they say in tennis.
Chekhov's gone.
Game, set, match. Except the game this time is the Sixth Age. Well, maybe not the Sixth Age. We'll have to wait and see what the official language is on this. But I think it was very clear at this point to me that this is how things are going to end. With the edicts coming back. And I think we talked about this at some point, that bringing them back would be an option. I think we might have talked about that in the Azanadra's Quest episode. Does that ring a bell, Questscaping?
Mm-hmm.
That we talked about maybe bringing the edicts back in the Azanadra Quest
yes.
episode.
Mm-hmm. Because it just does feel like a fitting ending. Like, the World Guardian essentially is the edict that was established pretty much in that quest.
Yeah, exactly. And being the World Guardian, you're set to go and try and figure out how to do this. You got to talk with, of course, the Guardians of Guthix, which include Juna, Death, Veludia, Ocellius, and Fiara.
You missed a big part here.
We were going so well.
I'm just saying where we're going next. Please feel free to fill in the gaps.
Oh, I was saying on the pronunciations. It's like,
Oh. Okay.
The Bilratch?
Oh, yeah!
That's kind of big.
Oh, okay.
He just barged right in.
I completely forgot to put that in my notes. I'm sorry about that, you guys.
Can't
it's
believe
like,
you.
Where are you going? You need the cause here, buddy. So yeah, Bilratch teleports in, and basically this is where I think they did a phenomenal job here with one of those like painting voiced cutscenes.
Yes, this
I think
was a good
this was
one of those.
The perfect use of it. Absolutely perfect. Bilratch teleports in and is basically, I mean, the standard Sarah Doman surrender and Zamorak will spare your people or they'll all die or that, right? This is right after a bunch of, I guess, white knights come in and say, hey, shit's breaking everywhere, all over.
Which, once again, will be represented later on.
So... And then you have to go talk to Adrastea downstairs for some reason after this to formulate a plan.
This random ass library with...
Did y'all have trouble finding her?
Yes, I was going to mention that.
I was literally had to have a clanny pointed out to me, and I noticed the clanny without managing to notice Adrastea right next to him.
Yeah.
Well, the problem
I logged in, thought there was a glitch.
Well, the problem is that Falador Castle's kind of hard to navigate like that.
Yeah, who in the hell designed a castle that way?
Ceridomenist interior designers, what are they doing wrong?
They need those brothers to come in from what's the network that's in every car dealership?
HGTV.
HGTV. They need those guys to come in and just let's knock out this wall. Let's open up the kitchen.
I know. Amazing. You still feel so strongly about that all these years later.
Yeah, yeah. So, and then we get to go see the Guardians of Gothic.
Okay, fair. I'm sorry. We're at that point in the B-roll. I forgot to put that in the notes, so I was just going with what I had written down in my notes. And it's also at this point I remember now that they ask if a direct assault on Zamorak would work, but Ceridomen and Azanadra and Armadale don't think that they'd be able to pull it off with the strength that they have. And it would, of course, be too devastating up top, which would, you know, effectively make everything we fought for in the Elder God Wars worthless to try and just, you know, keep the conflict underground in Zentistan, whereas now it would be just boiling up to the surface. Well, it already has to a degree, but this would be a lot worse. So I think that makes sense. Guardians of Gothics can be found at the Tree of Balance, south of the Archaeology Guild.
Nice that they got to use that.
Yeah. I found it interesting.
Mm-hmm. How so?
I mean, it was kind of ambivalent about the meeting place, I guess.
Yeah.
It's good they used it, but it just... Yeah.
I think the biggest thing we learned here is that
Juna just went, just slithered across all of the continent to get there, and everyone was just sort of fine with it. That's my favorite thing about this. Imagining like Juna and Fiara just getting there, walking.
Slithers our way over.
Slithers out of the Lumbridge cellar.
That's too funny. But what we learned is that these five guardians all have a little bit of knowledge about how the edicts worked. But there was no, you needed a physical manifestation, a physical element in order to cast the edicts, in order to actually be powerful. In the past, that was Guthix himself. But this goes to what you said, Questscaping, that the World Guardian, in our case, is that physical conduit and the physical representation of the edicts, which is entirely different from past World Guardians. Which I thought was interesting, because not too many people really think about the past World Guardians, right?
I think there's only one that we're aware of, which is Eternam, who is hinted at every now and then as someone who just kind of got shattered across time. And yeah, that's not an ideal outcome, hey?
No, you're not really able to do much with that.
She was the one who froze the God Wars dungeon,
yes.
Right?
That's the one.
Yeah, first God Wars. And the interesting part...
It became the balance elemental, apparently. I didn't know that.
Hey.
Yeah. The interesting part about this discussion that we have here is that this is something, and you guys can tell me if you think this could have been done at any point in the past. First things first, I need to make sure that the energy levels that would be required for this wouldn't actually kill the World Guardian, and the World Guardian will actually be able to do this without dying, obviously. So that's point number one. But if
Death is right there, we'll be fine.
I guess. But if we're going to go down this path, couldn't we have gone down this path at the beginning, or would we not have known everything we had to know at this point?
I read somewhere, and this is kind of hand-wavy, but I mean, it fits with the everything, and I don't have an issue with it. It took time for the powers to, like, grow or sink in or whatever.
Right, because we also had that Sliske infusion in Endgame. Then there was
where we blacked out.
Then there was the Shadow Anima bit in Desperate Measures, I think it was.
We also needed to get more Shadow Anima.
Which our recent trip
to Erebus would have given us. So. Yeah.
There's one of those at the end of Orth and Digsite as well, where you actually increase your monolith energy.
Didn't think about that.
Yeah.
But the Erebus one actually got deleted from you, essentially, by the Great Revision. So
okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that one doesn't count then. Interesting. How did we feel about this at this point? Because
Ethics is a damn good planner to know all of these things were going to happen.
Well, we kind of inferred that. Was that an extinction we inferred that, or was I thinking otherwise, that Guthix saw everything that was going to happen? Was that extinction, or was that the one before that?
It would have had to have been extinction, right?
Yeah.
That's the one where it happens, eh?
Yeah.
Because I feel like it was kind of, there's a bit of writing leading up to that in Azanadra's quest that Guthix potentially could foretell this entire thing, but we weren't entirely sure about that. Then it was confirmed in extinction.
So, I think that's right.
Yeah. But essentially the information transfer from the Guardians of Guthix to the World Guardian is successful. And
energy, it's knowledge.
Yeah, that's what I said.
We had a nice little cutscene here. One of the nice 3D cutscenes. It was just a matter of existing standard animations, like something like one of the water spells, and your character actually plays the same animation that happened when becoming the World Guardian in The World Wakes. But you get to have some sort of
3D animated. Oh, that's so neat. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
No, I...
Go ahead.
I think the... Comparing it to the painting cutscenes with the voiceover, I think this fit well for this as well.
Oh yeah,
because it was something that seems relatively simple to do because of the animation.
And there wasn't much movement associated with it as well.
Yeah,
so there's
but
that.
I feel like if the painting had been done, that wouldn't have felt as right.
Yeah, that's so, fair. That's fair.
I think this was done well.
Yeah.
I think I'm coming to a conclusion about UD cutscenes, is that if your character is at all an active participant in them, then it's something you want to be 3D.
Mm-hmm.
That's fair. And, you know, these things are all relatively new, I think. I think the first one we saw this was the Raksha cutscene, I think?
I think it was... Actually, Azanadra's quest was the first one. At that point, it was just talking things out in a room. No, Desperate Measures.
Right. Desperate Measures. Sure. And at this point, I'll say that this quest felt very traditional, I think. And it felt traditional at the start with the puzzle and the asylum and such. But I think that this kind of just hammered it all home here at the end on that. So, following that... transferal, we head back and we talk to Sarah Doman. And he says, this isn't some opportunity to show off. Do you have any idea how catastrophic a misstep could be? So I guess that's kind of what you guys were saying about how he's not 100% on board with it, right?
Yeah. Because he sees what could happen to him.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Obviously,
and he mentions, I don't remember at what point it is, but he starts talking about ruling the world, basically.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Well, not basically. He does outright start talking about ruling the world.
Yeah, it was a plan.
Finally, I get to knock the other gods out of the way, and Armadil gets to be nice and subservient to me.
Exactly. Was that at this point?
I think it was, yeah.
And like the idea, because the idea would be that he could knock the other ones out and they wouldn't be able to leave, but he'd still be able to be there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Adrastea goes, Dad!
It's what Sarah Doman's always wanted, but obviously, did you guys think it would go this way in the end, or?
Did I think Sarah Doman was going to use this to make a power grab?
No. I mean, did you think that it would be successful in this way? That the whatever we do at the end of the quest would work out to this? Or did you think it would do what it did or do what it's going to do and kick everyone out?
Genuinely kind of surprised, but also in an unsurprised way, as in, like, it's literally the quest title.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you hear Twilight of the Gods, Twilight is exactly what happens before it gets completely dark. So, makes sense, I think. Let's talk about the energy scanner that you get from Sarah Doman to find to find the correct spot to cast the ritual, because the ideal spot would be in the wilderness by the Sword of Edicts, but that's not feasible, given, of course, that's where Zamorak is going to be attacking from.
I got a great deal of enjoyment and some headcanon from this.
Because it's a rescanned penguin device.
The same icon as the penguin scanning device.
Just so slightly different on color.
I think he just went to Larry and got a bunch of them and then just did shit to it to make it scan for something different. So that's my headcanon. That's, oh, and he painted it.
Obviously.
Personalized.
But, I mean, it was obviously the Hall of Memories first.
Yep.
That's where I immediately teleported.
And the automaton in there is wondering what's going on, senses that that the world is in crisis and you need to do something with that. Mm-hmm. But says that, no, this isn't the place. This isn't the right kind of energy here. To cast this kind of ritual.
Vibes are off.
Yeah. How did it describe it? Socio-political unrest.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that's a little, that hits a little bit hard to home for real life, doesn't it? The next one was the Guthixian cache that you accessed through the Gleaming Wisp colony. Oh,
yeah, what the
Karamja.
Hell is that?
Of all the caches to visit, hey, we were genuinely surprised when it turned out to actually be on Karamja. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I kept going around it.
Might have been the Nature Altar at first.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. But I have never been inside one of those before. So that was just a whole new experience for me.
Well, if you don't have 99 divination, they're one of the best dailies to do in RS. Just a little bit of a PSA out there to anybody who doesn't have 99 divination and wants to progress towards that.
Me looking at my divination level, just not 99.
Yeah.
Mm.
I don't remember. Was there any notable dialogue with this cache location?
Not anything that the archivist didn't really say.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll skip beyond that one then. And it's good, because I was wondering at first what you're going to have to gather here, and it turned out that they did actually make it a different color than the ones that were there. So, and then following from this, the third and final location is the Lost Grove, specifically where you fight Solak, of all things, and where Mirtharial is. I found that interesting. I have expected Solak to appear at that one. So, but you know, I have to commend them because the Lost Grove is such a beautiful environment. I'm glad that we got to use it in a quest.
Finally, yes. Got some lore relevance. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's wonderful on that. And you find the location, there. And then you see all the ritual stones and such, set up at this point. And I think this is where the quest starts to come home, with that, but you need to go pick up a delivery before you can start doing the ritual there.
Mm-hmm. I found this part a little odd, too.
Okay, why?
I mean, it just seemed... I get it, but it seemed a little out of the way.
Yeah, I mean... Maybe they're... I'm trying to think right now, could there have been a better place to pick up a Zamorak and Ceridoan bird?
I mean, it makes sense. It makes sense to me. It's kind of like the Gleaming Wisp colony. It's like, okay, it makes sense, but I never would have... That's not where I would have gone with it.
It's nice to have that little bit of context for it. Isaura as a character, not just an archaeology collector, but also...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a weird one.
Everything with it fits. I was just a little confused, you know?
Yeah. We need the primal energy from the Lost Grove. Your scanning device crumbles to dust once you get to that final location. But there's one thing...
Pick up... Divine birds, yep. From Asara and the Kintra base and deep in Taverly Dungeon.
But
she gives you a great recipe.
Oh yeah, that sounded so good, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. I literally wrote in my notes, Asara's recipe sounds great.
Buttermilk marinade, salt and pepper, lemon, garlic, and Harrylander. All on the grill.
You've replicated the entire recipe she gave us in your notes for this quest.
I have to.
You had to.
Because there's going to be another Clan Quest cooking challenge at some point.
Oh, true.
And I want somebody from Clan Quest to make Ceridoman and Guthix, or Ceridoman and Zamorak chicken.
God birds on the grill.
I am an absolute slut for fried chicken, so...
Well, maybe you can be the one that does that, then.
Oh, I can't make it.
Oh, okay.
I'll eat the shit.
Aggressively messaging Darkest Night.
Get us some grilled Zamorak and Ceridoman bird for the next cooking challenge. Okay. So once you return with your birds, you need your birds, obviously, to complete the ritual and charge up the stone in the center. You have to build all four of the sites. You start with the ones on the left-hand side when you get in, because you only need four to begin with. And this is the point in this quest where... Well, actually, let me just say what you have to do first, because... What happens with this is that you have to charge up each of the runes to make all the various letters. So you're going to need to gather 52 energy if you want to make the entire alphabet for this. And then you're just able to put those letters into this puzzle and you wind up playing
Wordle.
Playing Wordle.
I thought this was amazing. I laughed out loud when I realized what was happening, and I enjoyed every second of it.
Same.
And you know what's interesting, and I didn't tell you guys both this before, because I made these two semi-notes about what they wanted to talk about on this show. You guys both came up with the same thing, calling it the Wordle Guardian.
Yeah. I mean, it's not an original joke. I saw it elsewhere,
okay.
too.
Okay.
So it's pretty... It's the obvious joke to make.
Yeah. I just want to say also with this, at this point, that the background music in this one, The Twilight Ritual, hands down, wonderful track for what you're doing in this case, and where you consider about where we've been and what this is all coming down to. I thought that this Twilight Ritual track just fit the mood entirely perfectly.
Yeah. There's a really nice bit of it where it goes from being gentle and relaxing to, like, the music feels like it has a twist to it. Like, it gets boom, boom, boom.
And I think with this, this is kind of where it all sunk in, for better or worse. We're going to end this. We're going to end this now. We don't know specifically if this is going to be the end of the Sixth Age. But we're ending this with a game of Wordle.
Yes!
So
I loved it. I thought it was amazing.
Okay. I thought it could have been a little shorter.
You're just bad at Wordle, dude. The only one I had trouble with was Ages. But I mean, I got gods, I got ward, I got anima, I got banish, divine, and shield. Easy.
Okay.
Damn, man.
I think after the
I
first...
I think I guessed gods, like, literally my first guess, and it was green across the board.
This is literally easier than Wordle because, A, there's no guess limit, and B, you don't have to guess actual words. You can just type A-U. Like Moonbase Alpha Star style. And yep, spam all
John
the vowels
Madden.
In John Madden. And yep, you'll get half the thing.
You know, I'm gonna be 100% honest here. After the second or third word, I just looked everything up.
Bad. My goodness.
Bad.
Call yourself a quester.
Well, I mean, I felt like it was a few words too long, honestly.
Yeah.
Nine?
Yeah.
Mudjack saying on the general Q&A that one of the Q&As anyway, there was a lot of good stream content this week. But yeah, just that he actually overcompensated lengthwise because some people thought that the extinction puzzle was too short. So he's thinking,
what?
No. Yeah.
Like the Erebus one?
Yeah, that's the one.
How do you feel
short?
About that, Tanis?
Oh, boy.
I think they should be strung up and have their fat silver soap.
Yeah, that was a point that was made on this. But at the same time, this is a simple puzzle that if you put your head in it and you use some of the common letters, you will get it over time.
I mean,
and
not what you did.
Not what I did. Not what
okay,
I did.
Okay, I just wanted to emphasize that.
And it was getting late at the time, so that's partly also why I did that. So
six name letters, max.
Yeah.
Come on.
Another thing I heard with this is that the interaction area could have been larger in this, so you didn't need to run around as much. That was another concern that I had with this. But I mean, overall, at the end of the day, it's just Wordle. You're becoming the Wordle Guardian with this, and that's how we're going to presumably end everything on that. So, but we learned something through this. We learned something that's a little bit surprising. The ritual's going to work, but it's going to be the powerful version of it. And it's going to banish all the gods.
Bummer. Bye-bye.
We can't be Gothic staying underground for years and years and years, just keeping it all in order. We do this, and it's not coming back. Those gods aren't coming back.
Bye-bye.
And see also, ya. With that... we will cease to be the World Guardian.
Mm-hmm.
We will always be the Wordle Guardian.
That's true. You will always be the Wordle Guardian.
Number one guardian in our hearts.
And And also, like, lore-wise, the Guardians of Gothics say, you'll always be a Guardian of Gothics, which is honestly pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Yay.
And
if not in power, then in... I don't remember what they said.
In spirit or something.
Yeah. By action or something.
Yeah.
But, yeah. We fill the gods in on this. Armadil says that he's willing to go willingly.
Yeah, this is when you go back to Valador.
Yeah.
This is the first time Armadil, Asnadra, and Ixlurin show up, right?
Yeah, at the Empyrean Citadel, which is very fitting, I think, because that's where we began this entire thing.
Full circle.
At the very beginning. And you know what the funny part about this is? Is that there's an option, and you ask, why don't we just go inside? And they say, no, outside is fine. Because you remember who's sitting inside still, right?
Got it. Is Brassica still in
there? Yeah, the cabbage is still in there.
Oh my god.
They mention him a couple times, that cabbage thing. Death mentions him directly, I think it was.
Yep.
I hope Marimba got time for one last party.
Oh yeah, what's gonna happen with Cabbage Face Punch Bonanza? Womp womp.
And I guess Draz's Brassican hypothesis never came to pass on that.
Just a cabbage floating out there in space.
Yeah. And it's actually interesting, because Ceridoman sees what's happening and realizes that if they were to confront Zamorak and go about this in the typical war sense, it would be bad for the entire world. And it's for that reason that him and Asinadra decide that they're willing to accept this and leave. As we said, Armadil leaves willingly.
Oh, okay.
Or will leave willingly, rather. Ixlurin goes back to the underworld.
Well, he says that's where he's going to go, yeah. But it's left purposefully ambiguous what's going to happen with him.
And then I don't think Ixlurin matters that much because
wow!
I mean, in terms of the godhood tiering power, right?
Rude.
What a middle child.
Soul into the river.
I mean,
asshole.
Like, he's not the most powerful thing, and he'll be in the underworld just fine.
You're just digging that hole deeper and deeper.
My boy.
Okay.
Don't be disrespecting dog god.
Okay, I'm sorry if there's any Ixlurin fans out there.
If there's any
if
out
there.
If
there are.
Well, I've never met any.
I have. I know
Are
some
you
personally.
Serious?
Okay. All right. Fair enough. But the end of the world, Guardian. I feel like I want to talk about what comes next with this, but we can also do that by diving into some of the live stream with this.
We did forget one thing.
Yeah, I want to go there next.
Ritual part.
Go ahead.
The doll?
God, yeah!
Right. I had that in my handwritten notes that didn't make it into this version. It doesn't look like you, but it smells like you.
I messed around with this one. You can change your clothes before you place it, and then it will copy your exact clothes when you place it. Yeah.
That's wonderful.
So people had some fun dressing up a bit wildly just for the occasion.
Mm-hmm.
Is this like your last dress?
So it's just a
about to die?
Life-size voodoo doll of you with like your energies or something that you place in the middle for the final test.
And the dialogue with Acelus having apparently created it from some of your hair somehow is just wild.
Isn't he basically like it's best not to ask questions?
Yeah. I want to know how they got your smell on it.
Oh god. Do you really want to know, Shane?
Yeah.
I think he does.
Oh god.
Well,
the worst thing I think he does.
I think if you ever go to Runefest again, you need to find Ma Jack and you need to sit him down and it's like, how did the doll smell like me? That's what you need to ask him.
You know, Mod Jack's immune to this because he doesn't have hair.
Ouch.
I shouldn't find that too funny, but I do. Oh, God. Okay. Anything else on the final ritual conversation in the Empyrean Citadel with the gods? Because we do have to have one final conversation in the Empyrean Citadel.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah. You know where I'm going next with this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
At the end, after everybody teleports out, the light voice says, "Go team," as we start wrapping this up. There's some question about how you're going to defeat Zamorak, but that you just need to, in effect, be able to enact the ritual that we talked about. And we'll talk more about how we get to that point after the fact. But when we get the quest complete dialogue, you got a blank quest complete page with the light voice saying quest complete, and it's dot dot dot. Where are the rewards? The quest not over.
You know, I kind of thought it was a
the next update is going to be a boss fight against Zamorak, right?
What? I thought it was a graphical issue for a second.
Oh, God!
And then
there are a couple of interfaces that are blank when they pop up.
Then we have a final conversation with the light and shadow voices. We're going to talk about banishing everybody and restoring the edicts. And it's at this point that we know with that the light and shadow voices aren't going to be anymore. The light voice is due to the regular anima from the monument, and then the shadow voice is due from shadow anima from the monolith. This is in the conversation with the light and shadow voices after the quest.
They outright say Guthix was the light voice and Sliske was the shadow voice? Well,
I don't think that's what they were getting at, no.
No. No.
The essence or whatever.
The energy from them, but it all ended up sounding
not,
like
not
Sliske.
Them specifically, but that was the magical resonance essence, whatever it was called.
Yeah. And then they talk about you saying goodbye to these lighted shadow voices.
Oh. I loved the interface screw here, though, just inserting light and shadow chat heads into the actual quest complete interface. That was just the perfect amount of meta to end on, hey?
Yeah.
And I feel like it was at this point that the gravity of what's about to happen in the upcoming boss fight and surrounding mini quests really hit with us here, is that this is all ending. The gods are going away. The light and shadow voices are going away. We're not going to be the World Guardian anymore. And following from that, after that, we're back to saving cats, I guess?
Gnomes.
Gnomes, sure.
We're back to saving gnomes.
Yeah, we gotta
get gnomes don't need saving.
Palace intrigue,
that's another option.
Yeah.
One piercing note, two.
Oh, Elemental Workshop 5.
Come on, two piercing notes was right there.
What about Elemental Workshop 5?
Shane, if we weren't recording, I would kick you from the channel.
I need to find an Elemental Workshop friend for when that eventually comes out.
Good luck.
I am an Elemental Workshop 4 enjoyer, mostly. Elemental Workshop 3 was a lot of running around.
I liked 1 and 2.
Yeah. So we'll get into all that after. But rewards for this quest, 3 quest points, 30,000 divination and magic XP. You get a Ring of the Abyss, which allows you to transmog yourself into the Abyssal Demon, Abyssal Savage, Abyssal Beast, or Abyssal Lord. Also, you get the robes as a cosmetic override that you used in the infiltration. as well as 5 Chaos Dice reroll tokens that will allow you to reroll drops in the 4th Elite Dungeon, the Zamorak Elite Dungeon. And you also get a 10% damage reduction in that Elite Dungeon as well for completing this quest. And you'll also be able to get those Chaos Dice rerolls as drops in the regular Elder God Wars Dungeon.
Okay, but you didn't say the name of the robes.
Order of Disrobes. What's wrong with that?
Disrobes.
Getting naked.
Oh.
And you also get that the Order of Dis is a pun on disorder, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Are you sure it's supposed to be Order of Disrobes like that?
Oh, yeah, it is. Like, even back when it was just an archaeology item, you can literally look up the Order of Disrobes archaeology item, and something in the inspect interface is saying, we're not sure if this is a pun.
Okay. All right, fair enough. I never picked up on that one.
Well.
All right. We also did have a live stream on the quest this week. Before we go into some of the points from that, is there anything else story, plot-wise, that you guys want to talk about before we move into that?
I do.
Okay.
So I want to talk about just what this means in terms of, like, this really closes down just about everything, doesn't it?
It does.
There is very little to go forward with from here.
And in some ways, and we were talking about that in our group chat that we used when we plotted out a potential way for it to go for that monthly bit last year. I said I felt relief on this. I don't know how you guys feel.
I did feel relief, like, both in-universe and out-of-universe.
Yeah.
Both in a sense of, finally, this is what the whole Gothic's World Guardian thing was meant to do. This feels good and right and proper. And now we no longer have that hanging over our characters' heads. But also out-of-universe. Finally, here we are, and we get to go back to normal in some sense?
Presumably.
I don't know. I'm in mixed feelings about this, but I will go into that later.
Yeah. Okay.
See, I think it's... Oh, go ahead, Darth.
I loved it. I think they wrapped everything up nicely. I think the ending... I think the ending... The ending was satisfying for me, because I think it was the right mix. It was exactly what I had felt was the case all along with the light and shadow voices. It's not Sliske, so Saren was right. But
of course
it's not Sliske. And Gothics. Yeah. And I thought it was a nice... I mean, that was what I expected it to be. And I was very satisfied with that conclusion to it.
It just feels so complete, which is good.
It does. Because I think it ties everything up nicely.
Yeah, Tanis, you were going to say something. What were you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to say that, like, I'm kind of glad that it's wrapping up. It kind of feels like ending a season of, you know, Discovery or Picard, and now it's time to check out some strange new worlds.
That's a good way of looking at it.
We had someone in Clan Quest who was not happy with the ending, and there were several others. And I actually reached out to Mod Jack to ask, like, hey, he was part of that discussion. I was like, hey, I'm curious, what was the wider community response, to the whole thing? He'd been they'd been pleasantly surprised by just how positive the response to it had been. So
apparently Reddit even liked it.
Yeah.
We did get called out. Anything. We did get called out by Mojack a little bit. Like, seeing as that the exact quote was, seeing as there's an unusually high concentration of Sliske fans in this server.
Uh-huh. No, I literally started it with, I feel a little crazy loving it.
And I think that also came up on the, I'm trying to remember if I read that in our chat or in the live stream, but Sliske was never meant to be a character you were supposed to like.
I don't know.
Yeah.
People sure did end up liking
hate. Them. Certainly.
True. Let's get some quest ratings here, then we'll talk about some of the live stream.
Five.
Okay.
I fixed everything that I was unhappy about with Extinction and all of them. It addressed the mistakes, I think, were made in Extinction, both lore-wise and like the cutscene thing that we talked about, the 2D versus 3D. I think they took the feedback from that very well and applied it to this, and I think they did it perfectly.
All right.
So,
Questscaping?
5 out of 5.
I'm at a tentative 4. Like, I'm not entirely solid on this, and I think hindsight honestly will make a difference for me, depending on like where they go next and whether wrapping it all up right here and now was a good idea. But yeah, I think overall solid.
Okay. Tannis?
For story and lore, I have to give it a 4. As an overall quest, a 3.
All right.
Because the rewards are an issue to me.
Oh, really?
I think
they are a little low, aren't they?
I think the justification for this was that you're going to have the elite dungeon, and that's the real reward, per se, and that this is only really a complete piece of content with the mini quest and elite dungeon that follow it.
Yeah, but when I do a quest, I don't want to do a quest, so I want to be rewarded.
Right, and you're not necessarily someone who's chomping at the bit to jump into the next elite dungeon.
Fair enough.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, for me, it you know, I enjoyed the lore and the story of it, but that's really all there was, and I need more when, you know, for a quest for me.
Yeah, okay, fair. I'm going to go 4 as well, because the criteria for my 5 is that it needs to completely knock my socks off in addition to doing everything that it promises. A 4 is a quest that does everything that it promises, has a good story, and there's no real issues with it. I'm with 4.
Can I ask, Shane, do you remember what your most recent 5 was?
Oh, it's been a while. You know, I'm not sure. I think my most, I know 5 I definitely gave out was Plague's End.
Oh, really? Huh.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't give them out that often, as you guys probably know on that. So, but of course, everybody has their own differences in terms of what they want to give out with that and whatnot. So, I want to talk a bit about some of the points that were raised in the live stream with this. It was a bonus live stream in particular. They had Monzaluma, Jack, and Spear, with Spear doing the playthrough Modhuli hosted. They opened up by saying that next week RuneScape 3 is getting its first ever mini Pride event, and it will award a few cosmetics, so we'll have full coverage of that next week. And I'm just going to dive into some of the points from this live stream. They said the core aim of this quest lore-wise would have been to just have the conversation at the end of the quest with the gods, and they could have done that with a mini quest if they wanted to. But they wanted to instead use it as an opportunity to fill out all of the effective remaining, like we said, dangling plot points. So I think we can all see that now that that was there. They also said this quest wasn't a conscious response to Extinction, because apparently some of the players felt like events that happened in this quest were a response to what happened with Extinction. But when Extinction dropped, this quest was effectively already finished development. It was just in the testing phase, the final testing phase with that.
Nice.
So it wasn't a response to Extinction. Originally,
that makes it even better for me then.
Yeah. Originally, things like Grigorovic and the Asylum, they said, could have been included in Extinction, but there just wouldn't have been the space to do that, which makes sense, I think.
Mm-hmm. I don't see where it would have fit in there,
no,
though.
No, exactly. Exactly.
Like, narratively wise.
Yeah. One of the big questions that did come up was, what was the initial goal with the light and shadow voices? And this is where we can talk about what happens with this now, because the intention at the end of Sliske's endgame was that Sliske would be possessing the player. So everybody who thought that back then was correct in that, but they changed that as of Desperate Times. Having Sliske be the focus of the storyline, they said again, wasn't something they wanted to do. And at the end of Endgame, they could have just completely ignored the Sliske angle. They could have put Jazz back to sleep, and they could have ended things there. But they said it would have felt like a cop-out to ignore the plot that was set up, so instead they drove down that Elder Gods path instead. And what happened was that there was a transition where a new way to use the plot was found. The World Guardian powers were undefined at the end of Endgame, and working out why Guthix wanted to die wasn't hashed out to the player at the end of Sliske's endgame, but it was laid out in Azanadra's quest, as we talked about. So that's one of those big things that effectively completes and fulfills and fills out that World Guardian arc, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. There was a lot of clan quest discussion about the Sliske thing.
Oh, yeah, I saw it.
Oh, yeah. Like, lots of controversy about, should they have stuck to their guns for the sake of sticking to their guns instead of going back on the intentions, which were clearly enough signposted at the time. But yeah, it would have, it's a sort of lose-lose, isn't it?
Yeah, because you ask yourself, do you want quests that are going to effectively be handling the same character back-to-back, or do you want to try and change things up a bit? And I think the way they did it was pretty good with that. So I'm fine with how they did it. Where do you guys fall?
My hot take is that Light and Shadow Voices still could have just been Sliske possessing the player, and that would have been fine with essentially no other changes to anything that happened.
Right. Okay.
I mean, I love it. I think the thing at Endgame could have been explained by, it just happened, so there was so much of his essence on you or whatever. Magical resonance, whatever you want to call it, that caused that to happen. But as time went away, that faded.
Yeah.
I think that's one way they could have done it. But, I mean, I'm completely satisfied with how they wrapped that up.
Yeah, and I think part of the reason why players wanted it to be Sliske and have him being possessing you is because if you go back to the Trindine archaeology mystery, when you rescue her from Caradet, she thinks you're someone else, and
yeah,
that's a pretty big point in that direction.
I mean, I never wanted that to be the case,
but it definitely felt like it, right?
It felt like that was going to be the case.
Yeah,
it feels like it feels like it was all arrows pointing in the direction of Sliske until very, very recently.
Yeah, and then Saren kind of gaslit us. That part.
You didn't believe it?
I think this is... Do you not remember the episode where I made Mod Jack cry?
I know. I'm just saying I believe Saren for that
thing.
You gotta
put that meme he sent in the show notes or something, Shane.
I will. I'll throw it in Discord and link it. That's hilarious. We talked about the Wordle puzzle that was mentioned in the live stream as well. They wanted to do something with the light and shadow voices and the quest reward screen back in Oz and Audra's quest, but they didn't get around to it. So they did it in this one. And they also used it as a new method of teasing an upcoming update, because when was the last time RS actually teased an upcoming update, right? In game, let alone. Which we already have a launch date for, believe it or not, July 4th, which is interesting that they've already announced that. We talked about the demons attacking cities and that's not reflected in game, but the fact is there will be a temporary event on that. Then the question came up, are we in the Seventh Age? The answer to this was ask again later in the year when we see where the story goes. What does that mean?
I have no idea.
I think what it means is that they're having a bit of a try at doing other things like the de-escalated no god stuff. And then if there's anything left to follow up on here, that'll be when that gets handled.
Okay. But at the same time, isn't 9 years kind of short for an age? Or has it been 9 years in universe? How does that work?
Ages were separated by major event, not
not a certain amount of time.
I think they're trying to go, it was kind of too early to call the sixth age an age. Like, if you find the lore book, Roldo's Ages, which was actually a reward from one of the act tracks, then it's a lore book by Roldo / Kuros, literally denying the sixth age as a thing that exists and saying that effectively we're all in fifth age blah blah still.
And that raises a very key point and something that was in my head with this. And this is something we've been debating for a topic of a monthly bit as well as something we could potentially do. Was the sixth age even necessary? In terms of how it was brought forward and such, in terms of the marketing behind it, in terms of calling it the Sixth Age, was that even necessary to do the story that we had? And that's what this question brings up.
I think it was a really good marketing tactic.
It was.
It's kind of like how people still call the combat system we have today EOC. When evolution of combat was a very distinct thing that happened in 2012. Some people even call this version of the game EOC these days.
Yeah.
So, like, these marketing terms, there's got to be some strong word anyway. Some strong phrase that you can associate with whatever turning point it is.
Yeah, because if you would have just said RuneScape Trial of the Gods, that doesn't have the big bang sense of, you know, ushering in a new age.
Everything is changing.
Exactly. And with that, I mean, I'm going to say honestly, I have mixed feelings about this at this point, because yes, we had a lot of fun with the storyline here, but at the same time, ask yourself, where would we be if we just would have kept going on that same traditional path and not done this gods thing? That's an interesting topic for discussion too, I think.
That we'd
go into on that monthly bit. And yes, I'm seeding that topic.
I'd have words.
I know. Just give me a sentence on that right now, because otherwise we'd be here for another hour. What do you think?
RuneScape storytelling would definitely have sort of grown up and matured in the process of just developing as a game in general. And I'd be interested to see what they could do with that, with essentially Ritual of the Majorat as the highest scale possible.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to compare with what old school RuneScape is doing with that enforced limit of they're never bringing the gods back.
And we did, and now they're presumably going to be gone because when the Zamorak boss fight comes in, there will be a mini quest associated with it, which will in effect provide the epilogue to this quest, Twilight of the Gods, and it will in effect provide the story for that elite dungeon without you needing to go through the entire Zamorak boss fight. So, I don't know. I don't know. I feel like this is an open topic I could push further. It might be fun to do it as a monthly bit. Tanis and Earth, do you guys have any thoughts before we wrap up here?
Not really.
Okay.
I think that's pretty covered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just kind of nagging in my head right now, thinking about it, and perhaps this is one we'll pull for the upcoming month, because I think it'd be fun to talk about, but...
Release it to the wilds of Patreon.
Yeah, see what they have to say about that. Though we do have another one up that I'm not going to say what's going to be on that poll, and I think that one will win, but I'm not going to say what that is at this point, because I don't want to... I've seeded one of them, I don't want to seed the second one until we put that one up. I'll tell you guys what it is after the fact on that. But I think that's Quest Week for RSBNB Update. I don't think there's anything else to talk about on the quest. We've given it its ratings.
Post-quest dialogue.
Oh, right. I saw that, and I meant to ask you about that before. What exactly do we have for that?
So there are three characters who have post-quest dialogue, as far as I'm aware, and it's all specifically characters who were in the first part of the quest, the asylum demons bit, etc. Specifically, you have Naressa, who has moved into the effigy incubator permanently. It's Visendathas, who has dialogue about having met Naressa. And it's Hannibus, who also has dialogue about having met Naressa. And here we go, and we've got all three of them talking about how Naressa feels bad about not having saved the node on yet, like them still being stuck in their dreamscape hibernating for thousands upon thousands of years, and they're all collaboratively working on a solution to how the hell they're going to get them out of that. So we do have a dangling plot thread there. There is one thing, but also it's probably not something we're going to address for a long, long time because we are going small scale. Modjack was talking both on stream and in the RuneScape Discord that essentially, like, Naressa and Visendathas, he was asked about specifically on stream, are way too high concept characters to deal with in a grounded storyline that's like kingdoms and wizards and dukes and whatnot.
Something because, like 60,000 years out of time, right?
Yeah, and oh, no. With all this magitech gnomes. But yeah, and so if we're dealing with them, it's a dangling plot thread, but who knows if it is going to get picked up at any time, and definitely not the near future.
We also have the reminder, we have the Erebus dangling plot thread as well, Abzaros, yes. And the monolith, and everything inside, Sarah Doman's crown and such.
Yeah, so they get some time to do a little bit of the small scale, see how they like it, and wiggle things about to fit as we proceed.
All right. I'll raise one final question on all this. Do you guys want to go back to those traditional small-style storylines at this point, or do you want to move on to the next big thing? Tanis?
I'd like to try the small palace intrigue type stuff for a little while. More personal, you know, kind of quest without dire circumstances.
Yeah, okay. Earth?
Gnomes.
Questscaping?
You know, they'll have to rebuild my investment from the ground up, but someone brought up One Piercing Note, and man, I liked One Piercing Note. I'm here to see what they do.
All right. Fair enough. Fair enough.
And I mean, you know, Haunted Mine, quests like that, I love. They're classic quests. I'd love to see a return to that type.
Yeah, that's fair.
Especially if they have gnomes.
I'm on.
Okay.
Well, I think you're lucky, because I think Montrike said that she wants something to do with the gnomes at some point. So there's that at least. But who knows if that's the direction they'll go. One final piece of RS news before we move on to picks of the week. You guys familiar with this, with a game called Smite?
Mm-hmm.
It exists.
RuneScape and old school characters
in beta
are going to Smite in November 2022. And that's all we know at this point.
Interesting. It's a MOBA.
It is. Remember how many times we said Jagex should do their own?
Mm-hmm.
And that
you
ship
did?
We did back in 1718. We were theory crafting about where Jagex could go next, and we said the MOBA was something, but it would be so much in the vein of everything else where they tried something, but it was after the industry had moved on from that. So with this, it's very clear that they're not going to be doing this, but the characters going to Smite kind of is an interesting thing, because I don't think we've ever seen RuneScape characters in a different game before. That's not Jagex oriented. So,
yeah,
we'll be keeping our eyes open for that. So before we wrap this up, we do have some picks of the week. And if you are a Star Trek fan, or you just want a little bit of extra Star Trek lore around the edges, there is a Humble Bundle containing 22 Star Trek books, including books about starships and one called Star Trek Cocktails, a Stellar Compendium. I figure that's an interesting one for some people here. There's also Star Trek The Next Generation, the Enterprise D Illustrated Handbook, Designing Starships, both a volume 1 and a volume 2, 3, and 4, going all the way up to the Discovery starships as well. And as it is a Humble Bundle, you are entirely able to pick and choose your price on this one. And these are all digital and such, so if you've ever wanted a little bit of extra Star Trek lore, this is something you can pick up. And these are the newest versions, in that they do include all the starships going out to the far future of the 32nd century as well. So if you're interested to see what some of the weird-looking 32nd century things look like, then you can have a look in these books as well. And that is all linked in the show notes at update.show. That's my pick of the week. Would highly recommend these. I actually have a few of them in paper copy, believe it or not. So I'll probably be getting this for the updated versions of the ones that I don't have.
Definitely eyeing the Star Trek Cocktails one.
Yeah, we'll just get the full package then.
Well, I have to.
Yeah.
You have to pay $25 for it.
Yeah. And I think I'm trying to remember if this also includes some Star Trek Online stuff as well. I'm not sure if it does. But I know the Star Trek Online folks have written for Hero Collector as well. So all in all, if you're a Star Trek fan, this is a good pick of the week to take advantage of. Oh, and Tanis, I didn't even scroll down to the very bottom of this one. There's called Discovery, the Book of Grudge. About the cat.
Book of Grudge.
It's about the cat from the show.
Oh. Okay.
So I had no idea that one was a thing. But anyways, that's my pick of the week. What do you got for us, Questscaping?
All right, guys, you want to go to space?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, let's go. So this isn't quite going to space, but it's close enough for some. So something they're doing with the Artemis 1 launch is they're putting as many people's names as sign up to it onto a flash drive and sending that around the moon. So you can't quite get up into space on this just yet, but you can send your name up there, and that's a start. It's a fun little project just to raise awareness for this whole project that's being done, trying to get people back onto the moon again. This is the first step towards that.
Yep.
I found out about this from a coworker who's really into space, and it's a cool little initiative to get public interest back into the stars. And, you know, it's a little thing, but as someone who chose my name myself, and it feels cool to get it up and out there, literally into space. Send a little piece of yourself around the moon feels like a cool thing.
I think this is so important to do with the way space has been going recently, in terms of, in effect, trying to reboot it, because there's definitely been an uptick in pace since it went to private industry, and the path and the rate of progress has definitely accelerated from where it was in the 90s and early 2000s, which is a good thing, because at the end of the day, these provide scientific advancements for everybody, which is important. You always need some sort of great disruptor like that to provide that, and the space program was always good for that. And there's just so many things that we learn about going to the moon in the 21st century, and then eventually later going to other places like Mars as well. And it's just so important to get people interested in that. And that's why I did the pick of the week a few weeks back on exoplanets, and why this is also a good one, and even better than the exoplanets one. So thank you. Thank you for this pick of the week.
Hey.
All righty. We do have some achievements as well. Earth, you want to start us off?
Sure. On all of these are on June 8th. Atma Hua got 99 Hunter and 99 Cooking. Battle/X got 99 Fletching and 99 Cooking. Ekron got 99 Dungeoneering, and Worst Tasker got 99 Smithing.
Well done. Moving on to the 7th, we have Atmahua again with 99 Mining, Donna with 99 Constitution, River Design with 99 Agility, and Zazicon with 120 Slayer.
All right. We've got Atmahua again with 99 Fire Making on June the 6th. Aero with 99 Thieving and 99 Divination on June the 5th. Tony Keat with 120 Slayer on that date. And Aero again the day before with 99 Agility. Been on a roll.
Nicely done. And Tanis will close us off.
All right. Yeah, closing us out on June 3rd, we have Legion 1943 with 120 Thieving. We have Mothin Nasa with 99 Magic. And then on the 2nd, we have Ariel with 99 Ranged and Shane Remy with 120 Archaeology.
Well done, everybody. Well done. Well, it wouldn't be Quest Week, of course, without talking about what we've been up to on RS. So what have you been up to on RS, Earth, since we last heard from you on Extinction?
I got 99 Archaeology last week.
Yeah, and we talked about that in the achievements section.
And then I think next up is 99 Thieving. I've gotten like 2.5 mil XP in the past couple of days.
Nice, you're doing safes?
Safes.
Yeah. The funny part about that one.
The slow route of safes. I'm not even doing the wilderness.
The funny part about that is when that update came out, it was Tanis, the blind guy, that told Sirion and me how to actively play the content. Because you click it when it flashes, and then that increases your progress. And Sirion and I didn't pick up on that.
I knew nothing about the update and still picked up on that.
Okay. Anything else you want to share?
Not much.
Alrighty.
Things are going great.
How about you, Tanis?
Just been doing some yak tracking, my way, like, you know, like Burger King, which means I'm just making plate bodies, because I still got a lot of bars, and I'm starting to like money, so that's kind of fun.
Nice.
I think I can probably, by the time I'm all done with this, I don't know what I will do, but I really feel like Crypt Bloom might be in my future.
Yeah, that's probably a good investment. Nice. For you and the kind of combat that you like to do. It works really well with Legacy, too.
that's the whole idea.
Okay, all right. Sounds good. How about you, Questscaping?
I have actually been getting into the Ranch Out of Time, like, more than ever before. And this all stems from just, it was the accidental... What are the skills? The
fletching and fire making.
That's the one. It was that update, and I was just running around doing all these dinosaur eggs, and it's like, huh, I have dinosaurs now. Maybe I should raise them. And before I knew it, I was obsessively keeping track of when my little baby dinos would become not so little babies, and it all spiraled from there. I've been doing some farming, Shane.
Good. Just wait till you get to 106, 112, and 118, and you start raising Rexes. Then the real money starts coming in.
Oh boy,
those are wonderful for that.
Oh man, it's good stuff.
As for me, just yak tracking with, you know, the same thing actually. The accidental update. If I just need to do skill and kill, I'll go make the tip shards there for fire making. And I realized I had to edit a part of that episode out because these two here, Tannis and Thaxi, went in a totally inappropriate direction for the podcast with that. So
what do you mean?
No, never mind.
Would have made you proud.
Nice.
But I just realized last night that I need to check to see if future fire making yak tracks actually support using the tip shards rather than just burning logs, because if they're not making the tip shards, then that's a bit of a problem. So, in any case, just been bouncing between, the accidental update and, Aya weekly, actually been doing that. I think I mentioned last week, I got the Necklace of Salamancy there as well, so I've been hanging out at Aya doing that.
Reject humanity, become lizard.
Yeah. I only wore it once, so I'm not going full lizard on this one. But I'm waiting for with this, and I'm waiting to see when I get this when I get the requirement or the achievement done for the Aya stuff. I'm waiting to see if that kicks off a kick in the master quest list, because completing everything at Hetz Oasis did the same thing for comp for me. So we'll see if that manages to tick things off in that direction. But I don't think there's anything else to talk about, just that and Yak Track. Thank you everybody for being here for this episode. It was a wonderful show, and if you guys want to subscribe to the podcast, you can do that. Best way to do that is to visit update.show/subscribe. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, Amazon, Pocket Casts, and of course YouTube at youtube.com/rsbnb. Just go there, like and subscribe, greatly helps the channel out. And you can subscribe on any of those if you want the podcast delivered to you automatically. But I think with that being said, we can close this one out and call it done and say that's another episode of RSPNB Update, and we'll see you guys next week.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye-bye.